Well, I was waiting for my parents to come in to share one more praise report. Many of you know that my sister has a heart condition, and with her heart condition, she should basically be in bed. She should be on oxygen. She should not be able to do anything. But this last week, two medically trained, highly trained physicians sat across from my parents and said, "She is a miracle." A miracle. Yes, praise the Lord for that. Yes. Her heart doctor is a specialist, and he told my parents, he said, "You could take this to church." He said, "That's how much of a miracle this is. You could take this to church." When you get doctors that don't have an explanation for how well someone is doing, and they're telling you it's a miracle, can I tell you something? It's a miracle. Amen. So praise God. We are just so grateful for all the things that he's done in her life. But she just continues to confound doctors, and they just don't have an answer. They just look at her and they go, "I'm looking at these reports. I'm looking at what it says." But she doesn't look anything like what these reports say. She looks healthy. She looks able to do things. It doesn't make sense. You're right. It's Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is so praised. My sister's in the back. She has a heart condition. Right. That she should be in bed. But she's not. Nope. She's able to do all kinds of stuff. Yep. God is amazing. Huh? Amen. Amen and amen. So still going. Yep. We have lots of those reports around here. Amen. Right. Wow, that's amazing. Walter, what were you going to say real quick?
I took my mother to the doctor, to urgent care, VA. He didn't want to go. He hates the doctor. We ran into a doctor there. He loved the man he met from India.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So it's a double blessing. He got what he needed, and now he has a doctor. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, God is so good. No. Those are for you to write down every week. Okay, so we are going to continue on with our journey with Jesus. And one of the things that the Lord wanted me to remind you of today that in our journey with Jesus is that who is saying these things that we're talking about? Jesus. These are important things. Whenever the Lord speaks to us, we should be listening. Amen. And so these are the things that he has been sharing with us about finances. And today we're going to Luke 12. And I know we were in Luke 12 last week, but we're still in Luke 12 this week. And it's verses 32 through 34. And Jesus has been talking to his disciples, very similar passage that is in Matthew, about how that we're not to worry about stuff. Amen. And we've talked about that in the past, how we're not to worry about what we eat, we're not to worry about what we wear. The Lord will provide. And if he provides for the lilies of the valley and he feeds the birds, how much more you, right? And so Jesus is continuing on, and he says in verse, did I start 23? 32, sorry. In verse 32, he says, "Do not fear, little flock." I love Jesus. I love him. He just addresses us like his kids. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That just makes me want to stop right there. Let's read it again. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Why are we worried about what we eat and what we wear when his desire is to give us the kingdom? Not just these little things that we're struggling with. He wants to give us everything. Amen? And he says, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where there is no thief that approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, this is a very similar passage to something that I spoke on a couple months ago about we have to make sure our hearts are right. Amen? And so a lot of times we look at our hearts being right with being greedy or grudgeful or tight-fisted. But can I tell you something? There's another area that we got to be careful that our hearts are right. Sometimes we get so consumed with what we eat, with what we wear, with our daily needs, with our bills, that we forget those are not our gods either. Sometimes our minds, and I have been there before, where all you think about 24/7 is, how am I going to make it this month? What am I going to do? If I just do this and I do that, and maybe he can get a couple extra hours, and we could kind of, you know, skimp here but get there. Where is our heart? Our heart is where? Our heart is on our need. Our heart is on what we need, not on our provider. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be diligent about our finances. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to use the God-given wisdom that he's given us. Amen? But I'm here to tell you today, little flock, your Father wants to give you the kingdom. Your Father wants to give you the kingdom. You should be shouting at this point. Your Father wants to give you the kingdom. At least say amen. Because you know what that means? That means so be it. You're saying, I take that, I receive that, so be it in my life when you say amen. This is powerful. This can set you free. How many people in this room do you do the finances for your family? Raise your hand. I am setting you free today. Your Father wants to give you the kingdom. Do you know why? Because exactly what we sang about this morning, exactly what Steve was talking about, because he loves you. How often do you hear Jesus addressing people as little flock? Little ones. It's a fatherly, loving, tender emotion that's going on here. Almost like you could see them, come here, guys. Stop worrying about these things. Stop trying to figure out where everything's going to come from. Stop toiling. Stop struggling. But he says it's important for us to what? It's important for us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. How do we do that? How do you do that? Tithes and offerings. Because what does he say? He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. When you give your tithes and offerings, you're not just doing your due diligence to give your 10%. I mean, you are, but you're not really. You are storing it into a heavenly account. So when the day comes and the hour comes and you're in need or there's something that's needed, you can watch $250,000 wiped out. You're like, yeah, it doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. We saw that in our family. $250,000 worth of medical bills when my sister was born. Gone. Just like that. Are they anything special? No. Listen today, when you are a tither and giver, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for them, he can do for you. Stop saying no, no. Because when you say no, no in your mind, you have cut off his ability to be able to bless you like that. You store up your treasure in heaven. And then what does he say? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is just here in the here and now, that's it. That's all you got. And can I tell you something? It goes away really fast. It goes away really fast. How many kingdoms in history? I've been reading through the Old Testament and how that the kings, different kings came in through Israel and Judah, and in a day they took all their gold, and then they took all their silver, and then they took all their bronze, and then everything's gone, just like that. But that's not where your treasure is. It's not in your bank account. It's not in your job. It's not in your Social Security. It's not in your home. It's not in your investments. That is not your treasure. Your treasure is in heaven. Amen? And if your treasure is there, then your heart will be there. Amen? So this week, I want you to focus on when that little voice starts to creep up of panic or stress or worry about all these little things in your life, I want you to stop and go, Jesus told me I'm part of that little flock. I'm not supposed to worry anymore. And then remind the devil, because guess what? He's giving me the kingdom. He's giving me the kingdom. What is his kingdom? Everything here and everything in heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If you're in need, talk to your dad. Your heavenly dad's got it. Amen. Our part is to make sure that our hearts aren't so wrapped around and so consumed with our need that we forget who our provider is. Amen. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One more time. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Bow your heads. Father, we just praise you so much for your word. Jesus, I thank you so much for all the words that you spoke. They're powerful and effective. And I pray, Father, that as we're on this journey with you, that we wouldn't grow callous. We wouldn't grow immune, Father, to the fact that you said these things. These are your words to us. And they're still alive today. They're still powerful today, just as when you said them. And Father, I just pray today for every person in this room, especially those that do the finances. Today, Father, I just see you coming around each one of us saying, it's okay, I got this. I got this. Don't worry anymore. Don't be troubled anymore. Don't stress anymore. My heart is to give you it all. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to receive the blessings that you have for us. And then, Father, that we would be faithful. You also said to sell what you have and to give alms, to give to those who are in more need than we are. And I thank you, Father, this is a church that does that. They give to missions, they give offerings, they give blessings. And so, Father, I know that their hearts are in the right place. And so I thank you today. We receive the kingdom. What you promised us, we receive that today. Because our hearts are going to keep our treasure with you. We're going to keep our treasure with you. Being faithful, Father. Not serving money, but money serving us. For your good and for your glory and for your kingdom. Bless every seed that's sown today. Bless the sower. Multiply that seed 100-fold in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness to your people. And we thank you, Father, for your love today. And like Pastor Steve said, we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much. So much. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's up to you. If you're very comfortable there, you're fine, but I promise I won't spit while I preach. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there was there, the question about the offering notes. If you just email us, Shelley, I'm sure would get the outline to you, if anybody wants. And it's recorded, so if you go online, this message will be online this afternoon. I don't usually leave stuff up forever anymore, just because of space and everything. But you can hear it again and so on. But if you do want notes, we do print notes for the messages, but not for the offering. So, but if you see an offering series that's just jumping out at you, just send us an email. Say, Pastor Shelley, can you please just send me? And she will. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Thanksgiving season. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Are y'all doing your 30 days of praise exercise? I have been. Make sure you get one of those in the back there and just be remembering something to give God praise about. There's mine so far. Amen. So, Shelly, I put Shelly down first, but I didn't start it till the 12th. So she looks like she's number 12, but she's really number one. Amen. I'll tell you what, I am thankful for my wife. Hallelujah. God is so good. Well, we're gonna get into probably three messages, and you know, we're gonna use the whole runway for Thanksgiving this year. So normally the Sunday after Thanksgiving I may switch to Christmas, but this year I think the Lord's given me, downloading to me, three messages on Thanksgiving. And this whole year, our theme has been promotion, supernatural promotion from the Lord. And we started this year, you know, at our other property over there, and then the other church kind of joined in, and we were doing things together, and then the school came in, and then we moved everything out, and we thought we were going back. There's just all kinds of stuff's been going on this year. Amen. And so we did some messages around Mother's Day and Father's Day in the beginning of the year that were more geared toward promotion. But I feel stirred to bring it back, to bring it back around right now. Amen. And then the Lord had us, you know, doing the first Sunday of the month healing services and all these. So how many know it's important to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, right? But this entire year, I've been believing God, saying, Lord, I thank you for supernatural promotion, supernatural favor, because that's the theme that he impressed in my heart to believe for, over you and over your families and so forth. Amen. But I want to come back as we navigate into this, we'll call it, I believe the term the Lord gave me is promotion through praise. And I know we can all think of a number of, if you've ever read your Bible at all, you can think of a number of stories in the Bible where somebody was promoted supernaturally by God through their praises. Amen? And we're going to focus just on one guy for the next few weeks. I was talking to Shelley yesterday, and she said, what about this guy? And I was like, that's the guy. That's the guy. Amen? But I want to reestablish the prophetic words that we've been standing on this year, too. And the first one is out of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, kcm.org. And he said this, 2019, yes, we're still in 2019. I am so fired up, you guys. 2020, are you kidding me? You remember when that was like a sci-fi movie? Yeah. 2020. Well, guess what? In 2020, I'm having my 20th wedding anniversary. That is so cool. I just sense that awesome things are going to happen. I don't remember being this excited about a new year. I mean, 2000, I knew I was going to get married. That was awesome, right? Remember 1999? It was like, what is this? What do we do with 1999? 1980? It's like, oh, man, 1980? 1990? It's like 2020. Are you kidding? That just sounds like something awesome is going to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about it. But we need to remember the things that the Lord's had us on this year, because guess what? It's still this year. Amen. It's still 2019. And as I got deeper into like the Copeland Ministry and the Savelle Ministry and Eagle Mountain International Church, they really have taught me how to respect the prophetic word. And you don't just take any prophetic word. You don't, somebody is, hey, I'm Joe Prophet, here's my prophet card. And then he prophesies you something. Thus saith the Lord, you will be run over by a careth this afternooneth, but trusteth me. No. How do you know that ain't true? Because my Bible promises me protection. Amen. So the prophetic word is to build up the body of Christ. Bring correction, yes. But you don't just embrace every prophetic word out there. You don't just, God only knows what you, if you Google it, what'll come up. Prophetic words. Lord have mercy. You might as well just get a fortune cookie, right? Somebody say no, right? But these are prophetic ministries that and like I said, I've been taught more about this now in terms of the word of God is the first and final authority. But when a prophet, somebody who operates in the office of the prophet brings a word, we shouldn't take that lightly. Obviously, you check it with the word of God and everything. But man, I'll tell you what, just exciting things. And one of the things they taught me was even the words that were spoken in previous years, they don't just get nullified at the end of that year, right? No, you can stand on the word of God for that prophetic word, whatever it was. One of my favorite messages I've heard at Kenneth Copeland preach ever, well, two things really, the name of Jesus, which is, I don't know, back in the 70s or 80s, there's a CD series on it. And it was so cool because when we saw him in 2016 in Anaheim, he started teaching on power in the name of Jesus, right? I was like, man, I feel like I'm at, you know, my favorite band concert and they're singing my favorite song, right? It was so cool. And he laid hands on everybody and just released the blessing of God on every. It was so awesome, right? But when you receive from the prophet, you just open yourself to the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, and then you stand on it. You say, yep, Lord, this is what I'm believing for this year. But one of the coolest messages, again, I kind of diverted there, but 2012 New Year's Eve service, they do a New Year's Eve service every year at Eagle Mountain International Church, and you can watch it live, and he brings a word. But man, there was something about that 2012 message that I just like to come back to it around New Year's Eve, and it's like, man, awesome. So in other words, just because it's 2019, I can still listen to something I heard in 2012 because there's no time and space in the Spirit. Amen? That's why I like that radio station I told you about, K-Love Classics. I mean, sure, there's some songs you gotta, I don't wanna hear that. But man, there's a lot of stuff about Jesus and worshiping, and Jesus is coming soon. And they were singing back in the 80s. And it's still relevant today. Keith Green. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. You know, just stuff like that. And it's like, man, I haven't heard that in decades. Right? And so we take these words and we just stir ourselves up in them. And we say, you know what? I'm standing on this. I'm believing God for this. Well, Brother Copeland prophesied this over 2019. And you can hear more on it. You can hear him teach more on it and so forth if you go to their website and listen and so forth. Just plug in. The Victory Network is a wonderful place to receive from. But he said this, 2019 is the year of abundant harvest. Amen. Somebody say, I received that. So whatever you've been sowing, somebody say, harvest time, abundant harvest. Abundant harvest. Has anybody experienced any kind of abundant harvest this year? And it'd be great if we all would keep a journal. Keep a journal, even if it's an electronic journal. But you know the cool thing about, I heard Shelley teach this once, and she was a way better student than I ever was. She said, studies have proven that if you see something in your own handwriting, you're way more likely to remember it, for it to sink down into you, right? So wouldn't it be awesome if we all were keeping journals on things God is doing in our lives? Supernatural stuff, Jesus, and write it down. You have your Bible study in the morning, write something down that you heard the Lord say and date it. Then you can refer to it again. These are wonderful things. But see, stuff I think a lot of times, I know in my own life, stuff just slips on through because I wasn't paying attention. It's like, oh yeah, that was harvest. Yeah, that was harvest. Yeah, that was harvest. And then you start praising God for it, right? Wow, praise the Lord. How about stuff that didn't happen that could have happened? That was harvest. Every time I come home from work, I drive all day long in my day job. Every time I come home, I just have this sense of thank you. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I drive by people and you drive through a weed cloud. And they're driving. Right? Or they're on who knows what kind of prescription drug, or they're mad, or what, you know what I'm saying? There's crazy devils out there controlling people's lives, and you're out there with them, and your kids are. Somebody say, go, angels. Go, angels, amen? And I get home, and I pull up in the driveway, nobody bumped me. You know, I got home, got through another day's work, praise the Lord, and I just sit there in the driveway, Lord, thank you. You brought me out. And you brought me back in. Richard knows. Amen. Glory to God. This is good news. Every time your kids or your grandkids come home from school, you send them out and they come back in. Pray. I mean, this is harvest. We think in harvest, I think, so often, especially prosperity believing churches, which is a good thing. But prosperity is way more than money in the bank. It's the peace of God in your family. Right? I don't have a family that I have to be concerned about Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? What are they going to say? Who's going to be there? How long do I have to stay? Do we have to? And they may be thinking that about me too, right? I don't have that. Thank you, Lord. That's a blessing. That's harvest, right? Somebody say abundant harvest. So keeping a journal, thanking God for things like this. Hallelujah. Jerry Seville said this, another wonderful prophet of God. 2019 will be a year of marvels, say marvels, wonders, and extraordinary manifestations of the greatness of your God. And you just let your imagination go. See, it's easy to imagine, you know, fear and worry and all these things that the enemy's trying to put on us all the time. Our imaginations can run wild with how bad could this get? Instead of thinking along this prophetic word, no, that doesn't line up with supernatural promotion. Oh, there's that word. Oh, wait, that's the next one. Marvels, we say marvels, right? Wonders, extraordinary manifestation of greatness of your God. What would that be to you? And you let yourself just meditate in that. You should, you know, save a copy of this with your, have a notebook. I have a notebook that I keep. And save some of these things in there. And come back to it from time to time and say, you know what? Wow. Holy God, pray in the Spirit. And he'll start giving you pictures. Picture, you know, your family healed. Picture your family saved. Picture, you know, the new house. Picture the, you know, whatever he has you believing for. What would be extraordinary, right? Amen. That's glorious. The biggest thing I stretch my mind to with a church is the Memorial Coliseum. How great would it be to go to church at the Memorial Coliseum, right in the middle of the mess, and just be like, hey, we're here. God loves you. You can park your bikes out front, pitch your tent out front, whatever you want. We'll come out and see you, though, out there, right? And just lay hands on people. Believe God to touch people's lives. Amen. Just let your imagination go with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Isn't that glorious? So, and the cool thing is, like I said, this doesn't expire December 31st at midnight. Isn't that great? Now, our theme for the year has been this. 2019 will be a year. Now, notice I'm using the word theme, and these guys are prophetic. I'll leave that to the Holy Ghost. I'm not calling myself a prophet, but I think we can all operate. It's a gift of the Spirit, so you can all operate prophetically. Doesn't mean necessarily have the gift of a prophet. But the Holy Ghost is the one who brings the gift, right? So I can prophesy things over my own life according to the Word of God. And this is what I'm believing for this year for us. The theme I believe that God gave me for this year is 2019 will be a year of supernatural promotion. We will go to new levels of experiencing the favor of God in our lives. Amen. So there again, I started in January, and I had a notes page on my phone just for that. Just for these things. And man, I'll tell you what, like in a week, I was out of room. Even on the notes page, it's like I had to scan all the way down. It's daily. Isn't there a scripture, I think it's Psalm 103, daily he loads me with benefits? That's a promise of God. So am I noticing? Come on, right? Hallelujah. So our foundation texts have been Proverbs 4, 7 through 8. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. And then Psalm 5:12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Now, that just gives you, I love the pictures the Word of God paints. With favor he surrounds me as with a shield. Hallelujah. I remember the day that we brought Lacey home from the hospital in our first service at New Beginnings back, and I'm standing in the front row. We're in the front row. They're going to share the testimony, and the first song they sang was Jesus Be a Fence Around Me Every Day, gospel version. And I'll tell you what, that's what we had experienced. The supernatural protection of God surrounding our lives 24/7. He gave me a picture just recently, you know, with my cousin passing recently, tragically, and God even works through that, and he's getting people saved and directing people toward him, and I know my cousin's with Jesus, but it's been hard to sleep at night, you know, just struggling with just, you know, in there's things in the natural that just try to come on you. Well, he just gave me a picture one night of an angel standing outside my door, guarding my sleep. And I'll tell you what a peaceful thought. There's a guy on guard outside the door. Glory to God. I mean, just surrounded with his favor, surrounded with his protection. Amen. Wonderful things to that's why the Bible uses words like meditate. The world takes meditation and gets goofy with it. Yoga and goofy spiritual things. We do a lot of jobs through downtown Portland, and there'll be incense burning and people doing nutty things in the name of meditation, right? But meditation is a Bible word. The devil just tries to counterfeit everything God has created for our good, right? So we take stuff like that and we think about it. We chew on it. We say it. We direct our thoughts. I don't let my thoughts be directed on their own. Amen. We direct our thoughts toward what God wants us thinking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted also to read the word that the Lord brought to me on July 9th out at Snake River. Because this is important, too. We're laying a foundation for where God's taking us next. Amen? We're out there at Snake River, and I'm spending time with Jesus, and this started coming up in my spirit. What's blocking free-flowing miracles and blessing of God from the body? Lack of unity. Don't confuse unity for agreement. It's the backbiting, ridiculing, tearing down of one another that's blocking the flow of the supernatural outpouring of the glory that's rightfully the body's. In short, it's the lack of love for one another. Cut the gossiping, arguing, and build up. Refuse to tear down, criticize, judge each other. Just don't go there, and we'll go on to glory land. Division, discord, strife, pride are what got Lucifer into such trouble. Don't allow him in anywhere, anytime, in any place. Like the old Dr. Pepper commercial, be you, do what you do. Love, serve, and help one another. Get this gospel preached. Standouts will be those who will not stand for strife, division, discord in my body. The blessing will be poured out into and through them in every realm of life. It will be blatantly, strikingly obvious, provoking the others to godly jealousy, and many will change, setting the stage for the great outpouring just before I myself return to draw you into myself forever. Remember the words of Joseph to his brothers, do not quarrel on the way. Be quick to repent and stay with your first love. Psalm 133, Genesis 45, and Revelation 2. And I wanted to read Psalm 133 because that's where we're headed here. And I didn't provide that prophetic word on in writing to you. You can hear it online if you want to later. But Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, the first thing that jumped out at me when I opened this last night was my Bible labels this a song of ascents of David. Somebody say ascent, right? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So we in the body of Christ have got to be the ones who don't hold offenses, don't hold grudges. I heard Brother Copeland again teaching this week about a vision he had of a water pipe that was about to explode. And he said the Lord showed him the reason this water pipe is about to explode is because there's a, I don't know exactly how he said it, but like millions of tiny grains of sand that have accumulated. So no offense is too small to get rid of out of your life. Amen? I had a situation this week that one of my kids' teachers, you know, said something to them. And man, my first impression was to get mad about it. And instantly I felt a headache come on me, right? And the Lord said, you need to forgive that now. Release that now. Don't hold this against that person at all. So I did. And then 5 minutes later, I forgave it again. And then 5 minutes later, I forgave. Why? Because it tries to come back. It's like a bird. Didn't Jesus say you can't keep the birds from flying around your head, over your head, but you can keep them from doing what? Building a nest in your hair, right? So offenses will come, opportunities to be offended, even at people you don't even know, athletes, politicians, something that somebody said in social media. We can't go there, church. Why? Because of what we just read. You're choosing basically to be against everything Jesus has done for us if we even rightfully take offense to somebody. Just say no. Nope, I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. And it'll be multiple times a day often. I forgive that. And then if somebody will cut you off on the freeway, and I forgive that. Right? I had a business person this week. I was doing a service for them. Never met them before in my life. Walked in and introduced myself. Hey, I'm with so-and-so company. She goes, yeah, I can see that. It's like, it just kind of took me back. Like, you jerk. You know, she was just being grumpy. The first instance was just be short with her, get it done, get out. You know, she's being a goofball, right? But no, you just step back and just realize. But see, that's what the Holy Ghost does, is he helps us to recognize it. It's kind of like being a professional baseball hitter. You have to know what's coming. You have to be quick to recognize fastball. It's curveball, right? Amen. And the Holy Ghost, he is the one that quickens us, to recognize it and resist it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that word ascent, it means this, because, you know, it says a song of ascents of David, and I love this. It means upward movement, a rising movement, movement upward from a lower to a higher state, degree, grade, or status, and the word advancement. I prophesy to you as your pastor that you are in upward movement. You're rising. You're moving upward to a higher state, degree, grade, or status. You are advancing in God. Amen. That's good news. Hallelujah, right? And when I was talking to Shelly, I was like, you know, honey, there's so many great stories in the Bible about being thankful and praising God. And I said, we go through, you know, Paul and Silas. There's so many great stories in the Word. And I said, from the Old Testament, you know, there was something about the Old Testament. She said, well, David. And I was like, yes, David. So we're going to spend about, you know, the next couple weeks just talking about David and how God promoted him. Now, obviously, there was a number of things, and things obviously he did wrong, too. Nobody's arguing with that. But he kept his heart right with God. And one of the biggest qualities of the man, even as a boy, was he was a praiser. He was a praiser of God, and he didn't care what anybody else thought. It didn't matter if he was out in the hills with the sheep or in the palace. Didn't matter if his wife was watching or crowds of people were watching or the Philistines were coming. It didn't matter. Praise God. Praising God. He was a praiser of God. So that's why he's a great example of this word ascent. Upward movement, a rising movement, moving upward from a lower to a higher state, degree, greater status, advancement. He is a great example of someone whose praises brought supernatural promotion to his life. But not just to him, to a nation. To a nation. Actually, it brought him into the messianic line. This is amazing when you think about this. God takes praises very serious. And don't you know, God doesn't need anything from me. Right? He doesn't need my $5 in the offering. He doesn't need, you know, he doesn't need my praises to feel good about himself. Everything we do for the Lord, we're really doing for ourselves. Amen. And for other people around us. That's why our obedience is so critical to the Lord. Because if I choose to disobey him, that opens the door to death in my life. If I choose to obey him, that opens the door to the blessing in my life. Amen. And so we are going to be focusing on this. But the foundation text I'm going to go with is Psalm 78. And we're just going to close her up here in a minute and get more into this next week. But Psalm 78, 70, and 71 says this. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds and from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So there's a great outline right there of advancement. From out in the hills where even his brothers didn't care much about him. You remember the story where I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what I'm saying? He's being faithful where he is at. Keeping his eyes on the Lord. Doing what he's supposed to do. And I think so many times we can get our eyes set on praising God, meaning jumping around and shouting and singing and all that kind of stuff, and that's wonderful. But I think we can even take it a little deeper and say doing what God says to do is a praise to him. Because I know there are believers out there today that jump and shout in church, and then tonight they'll be drinking and fornicating, smoking weed. Does that mean anything to the Lord? Right? No. It's the ones who live for him every day. Who it doesn't matter how menial of a task it is, if you're doing it for Jesus, if Jesus has asked you to do it, and you're doing it for the Lord, amen, that's going to bring one thing to you, promotion. Promotion. My first job in the ministry was cleaning toilets. They said, we need a janitor. I said, I'll do it. I just want in. I just want to be a part of this team. I want to work here. I want to serve God here. I had a good friend of mine, after I took the job, he was like, why would you take this job? Don't you know everyone's going to see you doing it? It's like, I'm not here for everyone else. I'm here for Jesus. I don't care. If I cared about what everyone else thought, I never even would have came here. I came by myself. Well, I was chasing a girl, actually, at the time. And she dumped me. And then the right one came in the door many years later. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He'll use anything to get you in the right place. But, man, that church, I jumped in with both feet, and I was cleaning toilets and doing things. And, man, within a year, they promoted me to the head of the whole department. I'm, like, you know, old, younger than everybody else, and On the drama team, I had somebody talk me into coming out for the drama team. I was in the choir, and one of the guys, why don't you come out for the drama team? Okay. You know, you're single, you're in your 20s. It's like, I need to fill my calendar with serving God. So I showed up for the drama team, and they were getting ready for this big Easter production. And they had a list of, you know, write down what you want to audition for. So I just put wherever I'm needed. And they gave me the part of Barabbas. I wore a potato sack, and they made me look like I was all beat up and everything. Well, within a few years of that, I was the director of the whole thing. We had it in the front page of the Oregonian one year. My name in the paper as the director. That's supernatural. That's God taking somebody that would say, wherever I'm needed, whatever you need me to do, sir. That's why I'm here doing this right now, because I still have that attitude. Lord, wherever I'm needed, do you need me to help someone else? I'll do it. Do you want me to do this today? I'll do it. You just have to have an I'll do it attitude. And that's why we're going to be looking at David over the next few weeks, because that's the attitude the man had. I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. He was out there communing with Jesus, with the Lord all those times by himself with the sheep, and God took that heart and did some, I mean, but the thing to see is it's bigger. Somebody say it's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. God will take you and touch the world through your yes. Isn't Jesus a good example of this? One man said yes, laid his life down, and humanity has been affected forever. Glory to God. That's the kind of team I want to be on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Go ahead and stand up on your feet, and we'll close her up in prayer today. Hallelujah, Father. Just lift your hands to the Lord and thank him. Lord, we thank you today in Jesus' name for your words to us. We offer our lives up to you. Just say, Lord, I offer up my life to you. Take me and use me. Lead me and guide me. I thank you, Father, for all the blessing that you are to me today. And I'll choose to praise you, to praise you, to praise you, to praise you every day of my life. And I thank you for it, God. I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful things you're doing, that you've done, and that you will do. And we give you the praise for it now. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everybody. You are dismissed. And there's coffee on and refreshments. Amen. Fellowship together.